You're listening to another wrestling episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns with your guy, Bully Rye, and PJ Steven. That's right, everybody. Welcome to a new wrestling episode and the first live wrestling episode in quite some time of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Bully Rye, at a sort of weird time during the day, but as always, joined alongside for our wrestling episodes, PJ Steven. PJ, what's up, bud?
Hello. I didn't know you were here. We never do this early, and I didn't know that you were going to be here. It's still daytime outside. It's 2:30 my time. It's, what, 4:30 your time?
Mm-hmm.
And this pale ale is really making it worth it today. I cannot wait to talk about this show. I cannot wait to talk about the Royal Rumble that took place, what, last weekend, right?
It was last Saturday, absolutely, as I'm trying to get shares for the show. If you come and join the show with us live today, make sure you comment, whether you're on Facebook.com/Tap Outs and Touchdowns or on YouTube. We're not live on Twitter today. Make sure you leave a comment, whatever it is that you're watching, and join the conversation because we've got some controversial topics to talk about today. You mentioned that we are going to be talking about the Royal Rumble that took place this past Saturday. Let's go ahead and let cat out the bag now. We will only have two more episodes of season five of Tap Outs and Touchdowns wrestling show wise. We'll have two more football shows as well. And then we're going to take about a 4 to 6 week break to reload, refresh, and come back and talk after WrestleMania. A lot of stuff happening between now and there. Matthew Leak, live on YouTube. Appreciate you being here, Matt, and join the conversation as long as you're going to be here with us. Because, like I said, we've got some controversial stuff to talk about. And without further ado, this is the biggest topic surrounding professional wrestling. And that has to do with the Vince McMahon lawsuit that was filed last week. As a result...
Hey, goodbye.
We haven't gotten there yet. That's going to be a important call. But as a result, Vince McMahon resigned from the board of directors of WWE. I guess a part of the TKO brand. There's a lot to digest. Michael Davis, hopefully his final departure. We're not disagreeing with you either. PJ, I'm not really sure where to start with this lawsuit because there are a ton of details around this. Let's start off with the statement that Vince McMahon made after the lawsuit was filed and his reasoning behind resigning. His direct quote in his resignation from TKO and WWE was, "I stand by my prior statement that Ms. Grant, Janelle Grant, the person filing the lawsuit, is replete with lies, obscene, made-up instances that never occurred, and is a vindictive distortion of the truth. I intend to vigorously defend myself against these baseless accusations and look forward to clearing my name. However, out of respect for the WWE universe, the extraordinary TKO business, and its board members and shareholders, partners and constituents, and all of the employees and superstars who helped make WWE into the global leader it is today, I have decided to resign from my executive chairmanship and the TKO board of directors effective immediately." Apparently, Janelle Grant, who is the woman who filed the lawsuit, had previously agreed to a $3 million settlement back in 2022, the first time Vince McMahon resigned from WWE, which included her signing a non-disclosure agreement. However, it is said that she claims that McMahon stopped paying on the settlement after the initial $1 million payment. And with this lawsuit, she intends to void this agreement. So, PJ, I guess, first and foremost, how do you feel about Vince's statement completely, like, trying to throw this poor one young woman under the bus? And the reason this lawsuit was filed in the first place was because he essentially refused to pay her entire settlement money that included an NDA.
I think it's Vince. And I don't know where this whole, I can't believe he wouldn't do that, is coming from. Because, I mean, come on, man. Like, Vince McMahon once pitched a storyline that he is going to impregnate Stephanie. I mean, this is coming from a man who, it's real life. This is coming from a man who is obviously lost in the world and obviously a monster. And I'm trying not to curse on the on this particular part of the show. But he is just the biggest. I think he's one of the biggest stains on his own production and his own creation. That's WWFE, whatever. And I think now, finally, hopefully, we can get some justice for the poor women and maybe poor men that he's assaulted, victimized, harassed, yeah, and victimized. That's a great word for it. But man, it doesn't look good. And the statement says all that you need to know about what's the guilty party and what's not. You know, this whole proven, you know, innocent until proven guilty is something that I definitely stand for. However, when the odds are stacked against the person who's supposedly innocent, plus with the what we know about the individual, you can kind of throw that right out the window. And as Michael Davis just came in and said, hopefully it's his final departure. I'm fine with never seeing Vince McMahon on my TV again. I'm having to see him in any kind of pro wrestling, anything. Not that he was in the pro wrestling business. He's in the entertainment business, even though wrestling is your middle name.
So you know, to that point, Vince McMahon created sports entertainment. Like, majority of wrestling companies still wanted to keep kayfabe alive until Vince wanted to get around I'm trying to think what they call them in fighting now. The sporting licenses, the fighting licenses his athletes. And so that's where he came out trying, listen, this isn't a legit sport. This is entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. But to your point, like, at this point, Vince McMahon was thought of as the sort of the architect for global wrestling, right? Like, he took his dad's company and turned it into this global phenomenon that traveled to places like England, Saudi Arabia, Japan, Australia, to every continent, really. And for these sorts of stories to come out, like, this is just one lawsuit that's been filed as a result of the settlement that he came up with 2 years ago when a bunch of women came forward accusing him of sexual misconduct. And he settled all these women. He resigned from WWE the first time because of these women coming forward, and then forced his way back in order to sell his company and make all the money he wanted to make off of his company. And part of the sale was agreed that he'd be on the board of directors. And now that's out of the picture. And it looks like with that sale and with the this final resignation, that it very could well be the end of the relationship between Vince McMahon and WWE. And to think about that too, the Royal Rumble this past weekend was the first premium live event, pay-per-view, you know, WWE spectacular event in which a McMahon was not employed by the company or had nothing to do with the company since the 1950s when his dad ran Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
I called you about that because I was sitting there thinking, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is the first event where a McMahon is not in charge or employed or anything. And I was like, so I called you. Just wanted to make sure that I was correct. Yeah, I'm never wrong, you know, but I had to make sure that.
You wanted verification.
I wanted verification, of course. I called it. But that, yeah. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, though. I think that's why this Rumble was a big deal, and this pay-per-view itself, no matter what pay-per-view it was a big deal.
Yeah, remember, if you're joining with us live, make sure you join the conversation in the comments. We'll read them on the air, and you can join the conversation, because this is an important conversation to have, because this is a big deal. We've got Matthew back in the chat, just throwing it out there. Shane is still under a talent contract, from what he's read, but he could be wrong. That's a fair point, because he was injured at last WrestleMania.
I looked that up because I wanted, that was my one hang up, because I was like, Linda's not there anymore, obviously. And then Of course, Stephanie left when her dad came back, which should tell you anything you need to know.
Yep.
But Shane, for what I was reading, and again, the internet, it could be wrong. Matthew could be correct. But from what I was reading, even at that WrestleMania spot where he hurt his ankle running.
Tore squad. Yeah.
Is that what it was? Tore squad?
Tore squad.
We need more part-timers in the ring. Excuse me. That's another conversation. But no, Shane McMahon wasn't even under a contract at that time. So I don't see them signing a contract while he's injured. Then again, I could be wrong as well. But I don't think Shane was under that contract, during that WrestleMania spot.
I do want to talk about Shane McMahon in a second. But again, if you're watching live, make sure you join the conversation because we want people to join in. Whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. I want to get to Shane in a second, but more details about the lawsuit. And I guess if you're listening to this on Spotify after the live show, if you're listening live, I guess I should issue a trigger warning here at this point because there are some pretty pretty damning allegations and pretty severe allegations. Apparently, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this, McMahon described their relationship as consensual in a 2022 statement. Some of the allegations that were named in the lawsuit were bruising and bleeding from McMahon forcefully doing things with different sexual toys named after his wrestlers. Grant's filing alleges that McMahon ensnared her in a this is a direct quote from a Daily Mail. Ensnared her in a sexual relationship by promising to help advance her career before ultimately exploiting her and trapping her to other executives within the company. John Laurinaitis is also named as a defendant in the lawsuit. Former, if you remember the power, the power of the people power.
Yeah.
Famously the brother of James Laurinaitis, who was also Road Warrior Animal. John Laurinaitis was also fired from WWE back in 2022 as well. The stepfather of Nikki and Brie, the Bella twins, who have come out and they've issued a statement essentially saying this is their statement. I don't know where they posted, maybe Instagram. We're shocked and disheartened with the recent allegations against members of the WWE. It has been a lot to process since we found out this past week, just as you all did. This is something we don't stand for or condone from anyone, no matter who they are. We want all women to feel safe and supported in the workplace and in their everyday lives.
Let me comment on that. I'm so sorry. Like, you know, women have to go through enough in this world that they don't need these men of power harassing them in a way to try and give them bigger spots in the company, things like that. Women's wrestling is already, and it's a little easier now as said by, you know, Becky and AJ Lee and women like that. But, women's wrestling is already looked down upon by some of the male, audience. It still is that women's match, take a piss break, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's already hard being a woman in professional wrestling. And the fact that there are people out there making it even more difficult for women to succeed in the business that they want to succeed in, it's just disgusting to me. And it drives me crazy because, you know, some of these men have the same mentality of, well, without men, who would protect women? And it's like, protect women from who?
If there were no men. From other men. Yeah.
So it just really, when you say that and you read it like that, and I know you're not writing it or, you know, reading it a certain type of way, but just the way you read it and the way she describes the women of WWE and the women of pro wrestling in that matter, it's just, you know, isn't it hard enough? And now you have to deal with what could be your boss, your male boss, or even in the case of back in the day with the Fabulous Moolah. It's just so disgusting to me. And I'm trying to watch my tongue here. I really hate it. I really do. It bothers me to the core.
Yeah. Again, please join the conversation for watching with us live. Leave a comment. We'll read it on the air. It's an important conversation to have because, I mean, there was a lot of stuff mentioned. There was reported text messages that came out with this lawsuit that was filed, a story regarding McMahon and Grant along with a third party involved in a sexual encounter that got graphically disgusting. I don't think it's worth rehashing the story. If you want to look up Google, whatever it is that you use for a search engine, feel free to look up the exact allegations named in the lawsuit, because it's pretty deplorable what things he's been accused of. And the only reason that these are coming out is because he voided the NDA that was signed 2 years ago by not paying Janelle Grant in this lawsuit. And generally speaking, victims of assault don't normally come forward, but she wanted to make it clear that at this point, like, it's, this is where we are. And I want to face my accuser. This is where we are. I want to make sure that he doesn't get to go on living life the way that he would enjoy doing, based on not coming forward and continuing to remain anonymous. And it's really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, one more thing I want to say, and I'm sorry, I'll stop interrupting you, and then we can move on to the Rumble. I just have to say, you know, the people who are coming out and they're victim blaming this woman, saying, well, why come out now? And why, you know, you got your money and then you're still going to come out, and which she didn't, but didn't get her money. But I'm saying, you know, you're going to get paid money and now you're coming out again. You just want more money. And it's just so, and especially on social media, I like to think that most of those people don't actually think that way, but man, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I've seen excuses like, well, those text messages aren't real. It's just AI. She just must have typed it out all in AI. And it's just, some of the victim blaming I'm seeing is not only disgusting, but it's very intellectually malnourished that you think that this couldn't happen. And it just really bugs me. And I'm going to stop talking about it because I'm getting a little upset. And it really does just piss me off about it, man. Like, what do you mean this could never happen? Or, like, that wouldn't happen and they wouldn't do this? What? Have you been watching wrestling since the 90s? Have you been seeing any kind of this isn't the first allegation that's come out about Vince McMahon. I mean, good God, you know, anyway.
So Doug Laffin joins the Facebook chat here, and I really feel like he set up the NDA at the time so he could force his way on the board and selling the company to make the money. Then he stopped paying the NDA after he achieved the goal, because who cares? I think it was absolutely a planned thing, including stopping the payment on the playoffs. Do not disagree whatsoever. I mean, listen, PJ already touched on it. We talked about women in wrestling. Women in the workplace, it is hard enough having to be a woman in a workplace, even in an office setting like this. Like, the Janelle Grant was not a professional wrestler, but there was apparently, allegedly, a former wrestler that was included in the lawsuit regarding McMahon's sort of, I guess, trafficking her as well and coercing her into a sexual relationship for a better spot on the card that never came and eventually led to her release when she decided to stop going on with it. You know, I actually had a conversation with this over the weekend with somebody. The whole "why did they wait so long to come forward" argument is a complete slap in the face to anybody who has been through any sort of sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, whatever the case is. As someone who has not been through anything of that nature, to be very clear, but someone who has known numerous people who have dealt with assault, who have been assaulted in some sort of way, be it physically, sexually, whatever the case was, either with a partner, with a stranger, or whatever the case is. The psychological toll that this sort of puts somebody through, where their first thought already is blaming themselves, how did I let this happen to myself? It's a whole line of questioning that they put themselves through, that for decades, I mean, you got to think, before we were kids, even in the 90s, people thought about sexual assault as their first question is, well, were you asking for it? What were you wearing? Where were you at? Why weren't you with somebody? Like those same old questions. And so, like, and you know, people like Bill Cosby and R. Kelly come to mind. Like, these guys got away with so much for so long. And, you know, the Bill Cosby's one of those, like, why did they wait 30 years to come after him? Like, they're just after his money. Well, what else are they going to come after? Like, they deserve deserve some sort of compensation for having been victimized by these predators, like Vince McMahon, for well, as long as they have been.
When you talk about the psychological toll that that might play on somebody, so that comes out, right? That like they want to push for lawsuit and whatever they're going to push for. The other thing that always drives me crazy is we don't think about the psychological toll that that will also take, because you're going to have paparazzi at your door. You're going to have lawyers on your phone because the lawyers are going to want to get paid too, right? Everybody has a price, right? Not only the paparazzi, but just the news coming at your door. So you got to pile that on top of not only suffering psychologically and mentally and maybe still physically from your assault, but now you have to pile on top of it that, well, now I have to talk to all these lawyers, I have to do this, I have to do that. And some would say it's worth it because you get to see the person face justice, maybe. But also, I could see where in their head they're like, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm already traumatized enough. I don't need more traumatization. And you know what also doesn't help is people like that who comment and say, like, why is she waiting now? And so reading those things probably doesn't help them either.
Nope. So I mean, and you got to think, too, it could be a sense of maybe they have been in therapy for years about it, and their therapy finally lets them come to terms with their truth. And they're able to actually have that conversation. You know what? You're right. Like, I'm strong enough. I've built the strength over the years. It's time for me to face my accuser and make him, face his demons and acknowledge what he did and acknowledge what he did was wrong. I mean, there's the last two points I'm going to make about it regarding the McMahon family. And then we're going to take a break and talk Royal Rumble. But there was a promo that was, I wouldn't leak, but it was an in segment. Back when Zach Gowen, the one-legged wrestler, was in WWE, and Vince McMahon was sort of exploiting him and basically putting him through the ringer, and there was a segment where he and Stephanie were going at it, and Stephanie gave this incredible promo to her dad about, you know, I know who you are. Remember when I was 17, what you asked me to do for you and your friends, and I did it, and this, that, it was crazy, because it screamed what this lawsuit was. It was really bad. And you have to wonder.
I don't remember that at all. Maybe I'll pull it out.
I'll pull it and send you off the air. But it was incredible. Like, how much truth was there to that promo? Looking back at it now, and then there were the stories that come out after Vince McMahon's second resignation, and why Shane McMahon left WWE in the early 2000s. And now it's coming out.
I read that. Yeah,
that Shane McMahon that Vince would try to involve Shane McMahon in his debauchery. And in front of executives, Shane would shut him down and basically tell him to go F himself, and eventually drove a wedge so deep that he left the company for a decade. And obviously Vince never learned. And it's unfortunate for a family to come to sort of go into shambles over something like this with people who really wanted to do well by the people around them. If it is true that Shane left because he couldn't deal with seeing what Vince was doing anymore. If Stephanie, I believe Stephanie was on her way out the door until Vince resigned. She decided to stay on. And then when he came back, she's nope, I'm done, because she didn't want to associate herself with that. And you've got to imagine this has got to be hard on Paul Levesque, otherwise known as Triple H, because he is still heavily involved in the business. You know, the son-in-law of Vince McMahon. And they tried to corner him at the press conference after the Royal Rumble and ask him about it. And, you know, it wasn't the time or place. It was a day removed from Vince's resignation. And to me, it wasn't the right time or place. But nevertheless, it has to be difficult on him as well. It's difficult on everybody involved, specifically the victim. That's who we need to be praising for her, not accepting a one-time Absolutely. Payment for her $3 million settlement, and saying, well, at least I got this. You know, if you don't follow through on your commitments, you need to be held accountable. And I think that's what's happening here. And we're going to sort of book in the show and give our final goodbye to Vince McMahon in today's curtain call. But we're going to take our first break of the show. We come back, maybe a lighter note to talk about. The Royal Rumble took place this past Saturday. We're going to talk about all the matches and what we might see going forward when we come back right here on Tap House and Touchdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Carolina Business Equipment. With offices in Charleston, Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, Carolina Business Equipment can supply your copiers, computers, and printers anywhere in the state of South Carolina. Call my personal best friend, Aaron Thompson, at 843-452-8761 for a quote today. And make sure you tell him that Ryan from Tap House and Touchdown sent you. Carolina Business Equipment, you worry about your business, let us handle your technology.
All right, welcome back to Tap Outs and Touchdowns. It's your guy, Billy Rye, alongside PJ, Steven. Remember, if you're watching the show live, make sure you leave a comment. I'm not sure if I want to say, if I want to continue to talk about Vince McMahon until we get to the end of the show, but let's go ahead and get to the 2024 WWE Royal Rumble. That took place this past Saturday from Tampa, Florida. Had some friends go to the show. PJ, you know anybody that actually went to the show? And did you get to talk to them before or after it took place?
I don't think so, no. It was in Tampa, right?
Yeah, it was in Tampa.
If I was still on the East Coast, I probably would have gone myself. Yeah. But no, I don't think I remember anyone going. We had a fun time, though. I mean, just sitting here watching it. I cooked a bunch of food. We had fun in our little group chat there. Actually, shout out to Matthew Leak, who won one of our little polls that we did, and he won something. I shipped him something today. And nice. Then shout out to myself, because I won one of the polls in Suplex City. I was very surprised about that. We'll go into it during the Men's Warrior Rumble, and we'll talk a little bit about Lauren and how she lost the poll for the Women's Warrior Rumble, which I was sad about. She had one of her numbers was number 30. And I was like, that's a pretty good number, baby. You might be winning some money. Daddy needs a new lightsaber. Let's go. but alas, she did not. And we'll talk about it. But yeah, let's get right into it, man. I'm sure to talk about this.
Let's go ahead. The show started off with the Women's Royal Rumble. We saw some surprise entrants in here, including the return of Naomi, who they actually called out as being a former TNA Knockouts champion, because when she left, she went to TNA. So they acknowledged TNA. Not only that, but then you talked about number 30, Liv Morgan, returning from injury and an arrest from a marijuana charge down in Florida. Somebody made a joke in one of the groups that I was in that she was able to return to Florida because she's not allowed to leave the state. So that's why she was able to return back in here. But not only did they acknowledge Naomi's TNA run, but they also, for the second time in Rumble history, allowed the TNA Knockouts champion to be involved in the Royal Rumble as Jordynne Grace shows up here. And got some really high praise from Triple H after the show. PJ, how'd you feel about Jordynne Grace's appearance?
She is a phenomenal worker, man. And I'm so glad she got to be in this Rumble. You know why they brought her in? They wanted to see what a real championship belt looks like.
I'm not disagreeing that the belt design is sweet.
It's really terrific to see her in there. They did it. Was it last year they did it with Mickey?
It was last year, the year before, because you got to remember when they let go of a bunch of superstars, that was still when Vince was in control, so it had to have been a couple years ago.
I guess you're right.
Mickey James was received all of her stuff in a trash bag mailed to her house.
I forgot about that.
Triple H sort of wanted to try to make amends and allow her to come out at the time the Impact Knockouts champion, and allowed her to come to the Royal Rumble.
What were we talking about a second ago about what women have to go through in the
world? Yeah.
Never mind. Don't worry about it. But Jordynne Grace coming out was super fun. I marked really loud. She's a fantastic worker, and it's funny. She defeated Naomi for the TNA Knockouts champion, so seeing them in the ring together, really, really cool moment. I think even surprises aside, the Women's Rumble really stole the show for me personally. Loved seeing Liv Morgan back. Part of me thought it was going to be Alexa Bliss a little bit.
So shout out to Jordynne Baxley. I was at his house watching it, and we were kind of speculating on who could come out, and we were halfway wondering if we were going to see Alexa Bliss. And we did.
People were thinking. I saw some people were thinking AJ Lee, which, you know, cool. I forgot the other big name that they were thinking. I knew we were going to see Jade. So happy we saw Jade. She looked fantastic.
Yeah, Jade Cargill finally made her WWE debut here in ring,
and which
was a phenomenal show.
Killer. And it was funny seeing the because she signed with WWE in September, so she's only been training for a couple months. Mm-hmm. And it was funny seeing the she finally learned how to wrestle, and I'm like, well, you need more than a couple months to learn how to wrestle, you know. But you know, that's coming from the people who, you know, just don't, you know, either didn't watch AEW or only just watched the highlights, because Jade was still a great wrestler in AEW. They probably they wanted her to work the WWE way. And I get it, because you're going from pro wrestling to sports entertainment. So I understand. Well,
I made it clear when she was in AEW that she needed work. She had the look. She was okay on the mic, but her in-ring work was a little rough, like a little rough around the edges. And I think Triple H wanted to make sure they got it right. And despite Nia Jax eliminating a Rumble high 8 women in this Rumble, they kept making a point that last year it took 11 women to get her out of the Rumble. And the entire announce booth, including a returning Pat McAfee, sort of marked out when Jade Cargill picked up Nia not once but twice to actually pick her up and single-handedly eliminate Nia Jax and from the Royal Rumble.
She picked her up with ease.
Oh, it was ease, with ease. Yeah.
I love how much heat Nia has too. It's so
it's
funny.
Great.
I'm still a Nia Jax fan. You know, I still think I'm still a fan. She can still break my neck with those thighs. I'm happy for it. But Nia, you know, Becky wouldn't have been the man if it wasn't for Nia Jax. Let's be real. The blood, the bloody nose, that promo, like Matthew, let's go. I'm a fan of Nia Jax. I was happy when she won the belt at Mania. But I knew she wasn't gonna win it here. And
the knock on Nia Jax was the fact that she hurt a lot of people, and she did. And that's why she keeps talking about squashing people and putting them out of action. She kept talking about doing it to Becky again. So she's sort of embracing why fans were ready to see her go in the first place. And she's slimmed down, she's gotten in better shape, and I feel like she's doing a better job of playing her role this time around than she did before.
I agree. Completely agree. It's one of those things where, you know, if you act like a heel when you're not supposed to, you should probably just embrace being a heel.
Yeah.
If it's that easy for you. So I love our winner too. You know, I'll let you announce, but yeah. I think it was the right time for the winner of the Warrior Rumble to finally get it.
Yeah,
how over has she been? You know?
Yeah, but before we get to the winner, we also saw NXT superstars Roxanne Perez and Tiffany Stratton make their main roster debut here at the Royal Rumble. And again, make sure if you've got any thoughts on the Royal Rumble, any part of the Royal Rumble, leave a comment so we can join the we can include you in the show and in the conversation. But we didn't really get a final four; we got a final three with number 30 entrant Liv Morgan, the previously mentioned Jade Cargill, and the number 3 entrant into the Women's Royal Rumble, Bayley. And Bayley would eliminate Liv Morgan after Liv Morgan eliminated Jade Cargill to be the third of the four horsewomen to win the Royal Rumble. And on Monday Night Raw this week, it appeared that she was going to make an announcement, and then Rhea Ripley came to interrupt her. And previously mentioned Nia Jax came and attacked Rhea Ripley. And we will not know, at least until this Friday on SmackDown, who Bayley will be choosing to face off with at WrestleMania for whatever women's championship. I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to the fallout from the Royal Rumble, but you mentioned it. Bayley's been over. I mean, she created her faction Damage Control. Damage Control has obviously taken a shift when they added Kairi Sane and Asuka to the mix. And so, I mean, there's a lot of heavy rumors about where we're going with this. But, you know, for so long, I mean, Bayley was the first ever Grand Slam champion in WWE. She was the women's champion, the NXT women's champion, the tag team champion. I don't know if she ever won Money in the Bank, but now she's won the Royal Rumble. I mean, Bayley's got to be one of the all-time greats, right?
I definitely think so. And I think she did win Money in the Bank. I could be wrong about that. I want to touch on somebody that was in the ring that I had, you know, I've been out of WWE for a little bit. You know, I mainly watch the main stuff to do this podcast. And if you tell me, yes, she is Money in the Bank winner 2019.
She's done everything at this point. Yeah. Rumble was the last check that she needed to make.
Absolutely.
Main eventing WrestleMania. So she'll get to do both of those this year.
But I saw a lot of new faces in there. There was one face I saw that I kept saying, you know, everyone's booing Nia because she can't work. But this one here. Who is Ivy Nile? Was she from Diamond Mine?
Ivy Nile is from Diamond Mine. And she believe it or not, a few weeks ago, had a world title match against Rhea Ripley on Monday Night Raw.
maybe she was having an off day because
she looks awkward in the ring.
Everything she did in the ring in the Rumble was awful. The kip up she did, she tried to do a Hurricane Rana, then she almost landed on her neck. I was like, throw her out for everyone's safety. Good God. And then Nia comes out, and I'm like, well, get her to throw her out. And of course, Nia did eventually throw her out. Nothing against her. Maybe she just had an off night. But when you're green, you're green. But man, everybody loved the.
Matt Leak back in the chat, loving Liv Morgan with entrant 30 was kind of a letdown. I'm not going to disagree with that as well, especially considering all the people it could have been. But I didn't mean to cut you off. I wanted to throw that up there real quick.
No, you're fine. I'm pretty much done. But yeah, I just, again, though, big fan of the Women's Rumble. The Women's Rumble, to me, pretty much stole the show, in my opinion. Fantastic.
I don't disagree.
All those women did a fantastic job.
I don't disagree. A lot of fun spots in here. There was also a spot where R-Truth got mixed up and tried to enter the Royal Rumble. I believe Nia Jax threw him out. And Adam Pearce, I believe it might have been when Xia Li was coming in. And that's somebody else who needs to go back to NXT, in my opinion, as well. She gets the reaction of a, I don't know. I don't know who you compare it to. She gets no reaction when she comes out. But R-Truth comes out and Adam Pearce has to say, this is the Women's Rumble, you idiot. Get to the back.
How brilliant was that? I mean, the best part about that is R-Truth walking by Sarah, walking past Valhalla, like, what the hell is that? Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was Valhalla. That's right. That's who it was.
Yeah. But it's Sarah. It's, you know,
Sarah Logan. Yeah.
Logan. Thank you. But yeah, I wish she would have had a little bit more time in the ring. But it was funny seeing R-Truth and Adam arguing and her just in the background trying to get to him. Like, that was pretty brilliant. In the background, just trying to get to Adam and R-Truth. Well, I guess R-Truth. Did you see the behind the scenes of that when they got behind the curtain? And he's like, I thought that was the run. He goes, yeah, but not the women's run. And he goes, Adam, what happened to all your hair? And he's like,
That was it.
He goes, Cheerio.
It's like, I need a drink. It's too early for that. Joe Dabbin in the chat. I want to give him a shout out real quick because we're gonna touch on that. We've already touched on that, but we're gonna do it again. Joe Dabbin in the chat. If you're watching the show live, join the conversation. Let us know what you thought about the Women's Rumble or anything else with the WWE Rumble. And Joe coming back in, the R-Truth part was the funniest thing ever. It was phenomenal. And if you got any other thoughts as you're listening or watching this podcast live, join the conversation and we'll talk about it. Love you too, Joe. Good to see you in here hanging out with us.
We'll see you in Vegas, baby. Maiden!
The next match on the card, if you can believe it, was the Fatal 4-Way for the WWE Universal Championship. I'm not going to... I could say the undisputed WWE 24/7 television part-timer championship, whatever you want to call it. But the WWE Championship here was defended in a Fatal 4-Way match as Roman Reigns defeated the likes of AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and LA Knight to once again retain his championship. This pay-per-view, especially after what happened a few weeks ago on Monday Night Raw, where The Rock returned and toyed at the idea of, should I sit at the head of the table? At some point, I expected him to show up and go face-to-face with Roman, or at least to be in the Men's Rumble. And spoiler alert, it didn't happen. I'm with Michael Underwood. Michael Underwood says, just call it the part-time belt because that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
I don't know exactly how – let's see. I've got the website here. This match went 19 minutes and 30 seconds. So there were only two matches not Royal Rumble related, and this was the longer one. A lot of people thought that it ended awkwardly, like maybe it ended prematurely or something didn't go right, but – he throws, I forgot who it was, into the ropes where AJ was setting up for his phenomenal forearm. He falls and hits chest first on the top rope. Roman hits the spear and retains the championship. How'd you feel about this match? And I guess we can talk about what's next for Roman when we get into our talk about the fallout from the Rumble. But so I guess the main question is, how'd you feel about this match and how do you continue to feel about this reign of Roman Reigns?
Let me spoiler alert. I didn't watch the match. I switched from this match to I switched to AEW so I could watch Yuji Nagata take on Bryan Danielson because that's a way better match. I did go back once that match was done because it didn't last 19 minutes. I did switch back to this just in time enough to see LA Knight laying on top of Orton or AJ and the ref standing there and me going, why isn't he counting?
So they explained it on commentary that because both of their shoulders were down, the referee couldn't make a call. Like LA Knight, his shoulders were like his ass was on the chest of whoever it was, Orton or Styles, but all four shoulders were on the mat, and so the referee couldn't make a count.
So double counts just don't work. Not
in a fatal four-way. Listen.
And by the way, why did Solo have to pull the ref out of the ring if it's a no DQ? Why didn't he go in and start? Go ahead.
Listen, that's just the way he wanted to stop it. And everybody keeps talking about it being funny that every time Solo Sikoa shows up to interrupt a match, he's wearing a hoodie like nobody's going to recognize him. Like, I guess they're setting up to the point where Jacob Fatu is going to be the guy to interrupt some match at some point.
I just have a thing. Like, if it's a no DQ, why the gaga of pulling him out of the ring? Just go in and start stomping on the dude.
Yeah. Matthew Lee, please, God, don't let it happen. No one watched Rock versus Roman. He also thinks Cody's going to finish story at WrestleMania. Joe, I think the tribal gig is getting stale. They could have ended it at a high note like George Costanza realized. Showmanship.
That's right.
And then Michael Underwood, if Roman doesn't go all time longest, the last 2 years would have been pointless, which is a fair point. Listen, I do not think that Roman will lose at WrestleMania. I think at this point, going now, and we'll get to the fallout, but to me, the idea was always to let Roman carry that streak past Hogan's mark. Because of the negativity surrounding Hogan, they want somebody to pass Hogan. But Roman will not be champion for a decade, a la Bruno Sammartino. It's not going to happen. So I believe that Roman will be champion headed into next WrestleMania. And that's where he loses the title. And it will be a big deal when it happens. Don't say this, Matthew Leek. Don't do this. He says,
I don't know who that guy is.
That's a name that I've never seen before.
So you don't think he's gonna, because WrestleMania 40, everyone's thinking that because they need something big to happen at WrestleMania 40 because it's the 40th anniversary. So you don't think he's gonna lose it at 40? By the way, I don't have an opinion per se. I'm just curious. No. You don't think he's gonna lose it at 40?
No, I think something else big will happen that doesn't have to do with Roman. At WrestleMania 40, I mean, we're getting to the next match where we get the United States Championship is on the line, so that'll probably be defended. And unfortunately, there's more to talk about that we got to wait until we get to the fallout.
Let me ask you this.
There were other matches that we were expected to see that we're not going to see now due to injury or due to the lawsuit or whatever the case may be.
Let me ask you this real quick before we move on to the United States Championship match, which I also didn't watch because I wanted to watch FTR and Daniel Garcia in the cage with House of Black. But let me ask you this real quick. So we're booking Roman to be this unstoppable force, right? And he can stand up to any finisher. He always kicks out, right? Mm-hmm. And he's the powerful guy. And he's the Superman right now.
Yeah.
My problem with that fatal four-way that when I did go back and rewatch it, the problem that I have with it is the psychology of the match where AJ Styles hits a hits a Styles Clash. It would have been three if somebody from the Fatal 4-Way didn't interrupt him. Now, if we're booking Roman to be this again, to be this unstoppable dude,
he should have kicked out on his own.
He should have kicked out on his own. And that's the psychology of pro wrestling that I really cherish, and I think it's a lost art. When people complain about, well, you just threw two guys in a ring with no story. If they're good wrestlers, they'll tell the story in the ring. They don't need a long story of this gaga. Just do it in the ring. And I think that the psychology would have been better for Roman. And it would have helped his character development a little bit more. And it would have helped my psychotic brain if he was just kicking out. And I would have been fine with that. You know, do a spot where he hits a Styles Clash, kicks out at one.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I mean, this is, you know, who we've got booking these shows. Real quick. Matt, you can say Cody. I misread it. Yeah. He said Cody's going to break the record. It's the second name that we don't recognize. I've never seen that name before in my life. That's why we didn't name it on the show, because we don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to be that way. Let's kind of zip through the United States Championship match, which was the third match on the card. Kevin Owens loses to Logan Paul via disqualification. The only thing I want to say about this match is that Kevin Owens legit beat the crap out of Logan Paul for all of, what, 13 minutes? This match lasted 14 minutes. Logan Paul had a bloody nose. He had a bruised and cut up chest. The psychology was that Logan Paul, he actually hits that knockout punch on KO. KO kicks out of it. So he's got some goon on the outside that gives him brass knucks. KO gets the brass knucks off of him, hits him with it. And as the referee is counting the three, he happens to look up and look at Kevin Owens' hands. And because Kevin Owens has never seen a William Regal match, didn't realize that he needed to put those in his pocket and loses via DQ. But we both feel the same way about Logan Paul personally. Is he sort of winning you over as a performer at this point? Because apparently he's also come out and said that he signed a full-time contract with WWE and that he will be on the road with WWE going forward and he will be on TV every week.
The match wasn't bad. The finish was one of the best finishes I've seen in a long time because it was realistic. Kevin Owens had a minor lap of judgment. He didn't throw the knucks away. He made a mistake. He forgot what it was like to be a heel. He forgot. He made a mistake. He paid for it. Yeah. I love it.
The interview after Logan's match, dude sounded concussed. I wouldn't be surprised. He got
no. That's just the way. That's just the way he talks. It's just the way he talks.
Yeah, it could be that too. And then Michael Underwood coming back in. He loves the finish. The ref actually catching. Listen, his facial expression was perfect. It was amazing. Yeah,
the ref looked at, you know, it. I loved it. I really, really did. And even speaking to some of the New Japan finishes that I've seen lately, this finish was my favorite finish of the year so far. Because again, it was realistic. You know, you have that character, Kevin Owens, this heel. It used to be, it reminded me a little bit of, you know, when Stewie first came up in Family Guy and he was just evil baby that wanted to kill everybody. And then he became soft. He became, you know, he just wanted to ride his big wheel. And he forgot what it was like. I just watched the Stewie Kills Lois episode. That's why my head was like that. So then he got back to, what, shame on me. I've been trying to kill this woman. I got to get back to it. Maybe that'll be this moment for Kevin. I want him to cut a promo saying, you know, I forgot what it was like to be Kevin Owens. I forgot what it was like to knock out everybody. I forgot what it was like to, you know. So I hope this is a turning point for Kevin Owens' career where he, James Loffin, always good to see you, man. Send me pictures of your new vest, too. I need to see it. But yeah.
He also said he loved the end of KO Logan, too.
I think, you know, I think the people crapping on it, man, just should kind of just back up a little bit and look at it as a realistic thing. You know, so I hope this is a kind of a turning point for Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and as far as Logan Paul goes, Logan the person, thumbs down. Michael Underwood, Logan the wrestler, keep booking it. Listen, if he's going to be on the road full time and he's going to really invest his time into it and get better, then maybe he'll eventually win me over. But as of right now, I still don't think. I put it in one of our group chats that putting the United States Championship on Logan Paul is the worst thing they did to the title since David Flair. And someone told me that I was overreacting and being what's the word? Dramatic. And I'm like, no, it's not dramatic. I mean, dude never shows up. I still won't ever forget what he did in the forest in Japan,
yep.
With or without an apology. So we'll see what happens with him going forward. We're running late on time, but we need to talk about the men's Royal Rumble match. PJ, there was a lot of fun stuff, but it was also, real quick before we move on, Brad Lawson, love him or hate him, Logan's come a long way in the ring in a short amount of time. He's an athlete, and I expect him to be able to do that.
Honestly, how would it look for Roman Reigns' wrestling career for right now if the internet celebrity wrestles more than he does?
That's actually a pretty funny point. So the Men's Royal Rumble it's been getting a lot of criticism as being not as good as the Women's Rumble. They're not wrong. There were really no surprise entrance. Pat McAfee was a surprise return at the Royal Rumble. He's now on the Raw broadcast team. He was a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble, but he eliminated himself in 38 seconds. To me, my favorite part of the Rumble was the number one and number two being Jim and Jey Uso facing off for the first time face-to-face, planting the seed for their match at WrestleMania, hopefully this year. The only big return that we got in this Rumble was Andrade. I mentioned it briefly a little while ago that there was somebody that was supposed to come back in this Royal Rumble, and he was supposed to face off with Gunther at WrestleMania. Those plans are going to have to change now, as Brock Lesnar is apparently supposedly tied into the lawsuit with WWE, Vince McMahon, James Laurinaitis, and others. And he was
surprised. Oh no!
And he was set to return in this Royal Rumble, and did not. I believe Bron Breakker took his place.
A wrestler.
Yeah, so an actual wrestler took his place. We saw Ahmed.
By the way, I would never be. I know you were about to say too. I would never be upset about not seeing Lesnar on my TV again, because it's like, what am I going to be upset that I'm not going to see him three times a year? I mean, move on.
Yeah, I'm with you. We saw the finish. I can't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember who's in the final four, but I do know the final two was Cody Rhodes and Ahmed Beefcake. Ahmed Beefcake getting chants all over the world.
Yeah,
It was his.
I think that Matthew guy, he mentioned Ahmed Beefcake a little while ago. I think maybe.
You got Jay, Pat, Truth, Dom, and Andrade were the best part of the Rumble. I agree,
Dom Michael. Was a great. Dom was a great part of the Rumble. I agree with that.
He was allegedly supposed to be the one to eliminate Brock Lesnar, and Bron Breakker took the elimination just like Lesnar was supposed to.
I heard that, and I thought, that how great would that have been? And you know what it reminds me of? Maven eliminating Taker.
Okay, that would have been good.
In the 02, I think, the 2002.
Before Undertaker murdered him with the chair on the outside of the ring.
And then threw him into a popcorn machine and gave him three-degree burns on his nipple.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we get Ahmed Beefcake and Cody Rhodes as your final two participants.
Yep.
Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble in 2024. He is the third person ever to win back-to-back Royal Rumbles. The first one to do it since Stone Cold Steve Austin did it in 97 and 98.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got it right, man. Like, I don't know. The only other person that I wanted to win, especially with the speculation of Seth Rollins' injury, is I wanted Gunther to win. I think Gunther was in the final four with Drew McIntyre.
I wanted Gunther to win as well, because I wanted him to go on and challenge Reigns for a title versus title match, a la Warrior and Hogan, but a much better match with two people who can wrestle. And I really wanted that because, you know, the people who, you know, I think it was Matt that said it earlier. We don't need Roman and Rock. I have said that from day one. I don't care about having Roman and Rock. You don't need a part-timer to come back to elevate Roman Reigns. Doesn't need to happen. You just need to tell a good story. And who's someone who he hasn't beaten yet? Gunther. Who's somebody who could use the win? Gunther. You know, so, I mean, I think that it would have been so easy, but it's okay. Cause, I mean, Cody's fine. I'm fine with it. And by the way, the men's Rumble, you know, we talk about the women's being better. In my opinion, the women's was a little bit more entertaining, but the men's Royal Rumble was terrific as well. I loved it. It was tremendous. A lot of power, a lot of great stories being told, heavy hitters there. Yeah, I really, really did enjoy it.
Let's see. We got one more. Thank God it didn't come down at 30. Also, thank God Rock didn't come down at 30. Again, it was rumored that The Rock was going to find a way to take on Roman at Mania, and so I was expecting him at 30. But Sami Zayn comes out at 30 as an injury return.
Love it.
Yeah, again, Men's Rumble, not a lot of shocking surprises or entrance or anything like that. The funny spot where McAfee got in the ring, climbed over the top rope a la Drew Carey, and then pretended to get back in the ring and then jumped over to avoid a showdown with Omos. But yeah, I mean, this a lot of fallout coming from this Royal Rumble. As of now, there's no decision been made as to who the Royal Rumbles are going to challenge at WrestleMania. We talked about Ahmed Beefcake being the last one eliminated. Apparently, the plans were that he was going to take on Seth Rollins at WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship, but Beefcake suffered a legitimate torn tricep in this match, and so he will not be ready for a few months. PJ, you had some pretty strong opinions because there were some people that were said to be laughing about his injury on social media. But this guy got hurt twice in AEW, and in his first televised match on WWE, he's already out for 6 to 9 months. Give us your thoughts on the fact that nobody's laughing at his injury, but it's just a matter of people, you know, wanting to say and do what they want to say and do regarding Ahmed Beefcake.
Listen, I don't think anyone should wish injury on anyone really. Who's in the ring to entertain us. I don't think that's fair. I would wish injury on the person that we talked about at the beginning of the show. Yeah.
But, you know, he ended in the ring. But, you know, you get my point. You know, wishing injury, because I won't wish injury on anybody. There's a lot of people in this world I'd wish grave injury on. But no. You're in the ring. You're entertaining us. You're a pro wrestler. You know, no one should want you to get injured. It's not fair. My point was, when he got injured in AEW, the thing was, well, AEW is so dangerous, and they don't work well. And look at all the people getting injured. And they injured CM Punk.
You don't
and
say then, the name, PJ. You've already broken kayfabe. You
broke
bum.
K-fabe.
You bum.
Logging out. Hey, you did it the other day.
Yeah, but I was able to edit it out because it wasn't live.
Oh, we're live, pal.
We're live, pal.
God,
I'm gonna call you sick from going out.
He was that name in AEW. Now he's Ahmed Beefcake because we didn't have that when he was in AEW. You understand me?
I wanna hit you so bad right now.
Well, you're the one of the ones I wish injury on.
PJ Vicious. That's who you are from now on. PJ Vicious. Screwing it up. Screwing it up when we're live.
No, that hurts. I can jump off a middle rope and not break my damn knee.
You never know. You've gotten older. You don't know.
Well, if I go into an AEW ring, I'm so injury prone that you never know, I guess.
Yeah, listen, real quick, Matthew Leake, want to say hate him or love him. It sucks to see it happen. Surgery's 4 to 6 with surgery and rehab. He also said that was his boy. He was researching it as soon as it happened. Yeah, he sounds like Drew on Raw last night. It was
I've got a picture. I got a picture of myself next to Drew. My wife took. I look kind of like him at an NXT out show. But my point was real quick, and we'll wrap up. But so Ahmed Beefcake comes into the Royal Rumble, pretty much WWE's safest match, and he gets injured.
Yep.
So how is it AEW's fault that Dude Man got injured the first time, whereas in here he got injured in arguably their safest match? And I just think that, and AEW does, you mentioned Darby Allin. I'm not disagreeing that Darby Allin's not dangerous to himself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's Mick Foley in the early 90s. He was doing this almost the same thing. He wasn't diving out of rings
He had a lot more muscle mass and body weight to protect some of his organs and his bones.
So you're body shaming Darby Allin. I see how.
I mean, 100% body shaming Darby Allin. Anyway, let's go on. We're running late, and we need to get to the show. Say that
five times fast. Darby Allin body
shaming Darby Allin. Body shaming Darby. All right, let's go on.
I just wanted to hear you say it so I can put it on repeat, so I can have it in a loop that you were body shaming.
Oh, good. Yeah. No, listen, I don't wish harm on Beefcake, but the idea that people are laughing at his injury, I think they're laughing at the irony from it. I mean, it's just the guy comes into one televised match and he's already gone for the next 6 months. And the next night on Monday Night Raw, he's interrupted as he's giving his farewell speech by Drew McIntyre. I was going to talk about it in the curtain call, but Drew McIntyre is the heel that we need. He comes out and he says, I was not a religious person when I came back to WWE. Something changed and I prayed for this to happen. I am, you know, it was amazing. What a good promo. Drew McIntyre is the heel that we need.
When he was saying, I'm not a religious, I was like, where's this going? And I prayed for you to get in. I was like, oh my God. It's amazing. I loved it. I put it on repeat.
But yeah,
I think it's my ringtone.
Well, that's phenomenal. Like I said, Beefcake was originally supposed to challenge Seth Rollins. Now, instead, Seth Rollins comes out on Raw on Monday and essentially begs Cody Rhodes to challenge him, because the World Heavyweight Championship is the main championship, the goal in WWE now, that Roman is not the guy anymore, that Seth Rollins is. This opens the door. He also said we can call it the Hollywood title, whatever you want to call it. So this deliberately opens the door for a rematch of two WrestleManias ago with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And then it opens the door for Rock and Roman that nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to see. So we'll skip over that. Again, heavy speculation with the ousting of Bayley from Damage Control, that Bayley is going to challenge Io Sky for the WWE Women's Championship, which leaves the World Heavyweight Championship, the women's, that I should say, up in the air, whether it's going to be Nia Jax or Becky Lynch. There was a funny Instagram reel where Becky Lynch was backstage eating chocolate and Kevin Owens approaches her and basically like knocks the chocolate out of her hand and says, what are you doing? Like, you need to get that killer instinct again. Go run, do some cardio, do something. Like, you don't get to eat chocolate until you accomplish something again. Get out of here. And if you haven't seen it, I'll send it to you. I haven't seen it at all.
It sounds really goofy.
It's really fun. But we don't know what's coming with the women's Royal Rumble mat or with the women's World Championship and Rhea Ripley. We're probably going to get Jay and Jimmy in a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. So we'll see where that goes. But a lot up in the air after the Royal Rumble, especially considering we were supposed to get Gunther and Lesnar at WrestleMania. That's not going to happen, even though Gunther made it clear on a radio station here in Greenville that said that that Brock Lesnar was his like final boss before he went to the world title picture. I will tell you this. I think that before the end of this year, Gunther will no longer be the Intercontinental Champion. And he will be the world champion housed on Monday Night Raw. Michael Underwood, Bayley going after Io, a la Batista trips. Yep,
I was going to mention that because, and it's a little bit flipped, right? Because Triple H brought Batista in, whereas in this instance, it would be Bayley bring Io in. But I think it's a wonderful point that what Michael just said, you know, Batista doing the thumbs down to Triple H and Ric Flair, Bayley would, you know, inevitably be doing the same thing. I want to touch real quick on someone that we kind of skipped over, and that's Bron Breakker. Not only coming in to supposedly replace Lesnar in the Royal Rumble, but damn, did he have a great showing. And he's a great wrestler. I mean, in NXT, he's done fantastic. In this Rumble, he was amazing. So I think that might be your next Intercontinental Champion down the road. Not necessarily maybe defeating Gunther, but it could happen. I could see Bron Breakker doing the job, or Gunther doing the job for Breakker rather. And the last thing I'm going to touch on, when you talk about Cody possibly challenging Seth. So if they were to do that, in my opinion, it would make Cody look weak because it would make it seem that he's scared of Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns already beat him. So he's going to go after the lesser champion. And what did I say when they first put out the new World Heavyweight Champion? That is a belt that can be defended because WWE booked themselves in the corner with Reigns. And you can't beat Reigns. Whew. He can't have a bad night. He can't get a 1-2-3, even though he almost did with a Styles Clash. We're going to talk about that, I guess. But I think that it would not do well for Cody's character if he didn't go after Reigns because
let me interrupt. Did you see the promo between him and Seth on Raw Monday?
I watched it on YouTube.
So to me, I think that they've done a good job setting it up with this is the working man's title. Do you want to be the quote unquote Hollywood champion, or do you want to be the champion that's here week in and week out defending the title at house shows all over the country?
But the belt doesn't defend, the wrestler defends. So
that's the point.
But to call it the Hollywood title, so if he grabbed the World Heavyweight Champion, you automatically have to take like 5 months off two or three months off a year. No, if he was a champion, he could defend it and he would. So the point of, well, do you want to get that belt?
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Do you want to get that belt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to get that belt and not defend it? Well, who says I wouldn't defend it? I would be a champion. I would defend it. So to use that, to me, is irrelevant. I think the point is that Cody lost to Reigns. He should take on Reigns. Now, if you want to do something New Japan-like, which is what I like, have Roman take night one off and Seth Rollins and do a double gold dash kind of thing for Wrestle Kingdom back in the day. Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes for the World Heavyweight Champion. Winner goes on to face Roman in a title versus title for the WWE Champion.
You don't, yeah, but then you're essentially like combining the titles again, and that's what they're trying to get away from. Listen, it's fun to speculate. There's a lot of stuff that can happen between now and then.
Wouldn't that fix the Hollywood title stigma if you combine the champion to one belt that gets defended?
Yeah, but at the same time, you can put somebody else in that spot instead of Cody, or you put Cody in that spot and put somebody else. Either way, like we've already talked about it. They're going to have Roman beat Hogan's title reign, and so do you want Cody just to be another victim once again because he's already done it, or do you want to give him a title because Seth has got to take time off to get his knee rehabbed anyway? Yeah. And with Beefcake not being able to do it, you might as well let Cody Rhodes do it. Let him finish his story and carry a world title and go on. Listen, we could talk about this all day.
It's not, I know, but it's not finishing the story if he doesn't get the title that he first wrote his first chapter for. In my opinion, it's not finishing the story if he doesn't get the title that he first went for.
Well, we'll see where they decide to go with the storyline. Maybe they throw a curveball and still let him go after Roman at Mania anyway. Listen, we got to take our final break. We're running super late. We're going to come back. We're going to wrap up the show with our final segment, the curtain call. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Established in 2008, One Stop Repairs in North Charleston, South Carolina is your one-stop shop for all of your electronic repair needs. Specializing in cell phones, tablets, computers, laptops, and game consoles, One Stop Repairs offers reputable and quality service with the quickest turnaround time and the most competitive prices in the Lowcountry. You can find them on Google with an exceptional 4.9 star rating or on Facebook by searching for One Stop Repairs. Call for a quote today at 843-343-6310. That's the number one, One Stop Repairs.
All right, we're back. We're back up to wrap up the show here. Tap Outs and Touchdowns wrestling episode. Your guy, Billy Rye, PJ Steven. And we are going to go to our curtain call. And we talked a lot about it at the beginning of the show, so we're not going to spend a lot of the time ending the show with it. But it is our final goodbye and good riddance to one Vince McMahon. We talked about not naming somebody else by name on the show, and PJ broke that rule today. But we are not going to break the rule today unless something crazy happens. Today will be the last day that we talk about Vince McMahon again, unless there are other wrestlers implicated in the story, whatever the case is. Vince McMahon was a guy that created something that, if you're listening to the show, watching this show on YouTube, wherever the case is, he's created something that has entertained us for the better part of our lives. And we cannot deny that the WWE is something that has become a part of us, right? Unfortunately, the old saying in from the Dark Knight, my favorite Batman movie of all time, you either die a hero or live long enough to become, what is it? You live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
I can't quote.
Shut up. You either die a hero or you live long enough
to see yourself
called a villain. So, because I said it and you were mocking me, but nevertheless,
we're live, pal.
Vince McMahon, I think for all intents and purposes, had really good intentions. When Ted Turner purchased WCW, I think a switch flipped in Vince McMahon, and I think he became this ruthless, undeniable monster. He allowed his company to turn into a circus when it came to a literal circus with the oddities and what they did on TV as far as introducing sex to the audience and going PG-13 or PG-14, whatever it was. And allowing a more adult-themed wrestling company a la ECW. And the power that he was able to obtain from doing so. Mama Frick in the house saying good riddance to Vince as well.
Mama Frick.
And I think something clicked and the power got through his head. And he became the monster that maybe he was born to be. I'm not sure. My final thoughts is the fact that, you know, people create things that turn to poop every day. And unfortunately, Vince created something that turned into a powerhouse, a global power, and his name will forever be attached to it. But as far as this show goes and as far as pro wrestling going forward goes, I hope we never have to see Vince McMahon tied. And I know there's supposed to be a documentary going on Netflix, and I don't know if they change that or decide not to release it at this point, but I know as far as this show goes.
I can't wait to see his Dark Side of the Ring episode.
Oh, it's going
to
be fantastic.
Part one, two, and three.
As far as him being involved in WWE, I'm glad that we never have to hear his No Chance in Hell theme music ever again. I'm glad we don't have to see his overly operated on face ever again. I'm glad we never have to hear his voice saying welcome to WrestleMania ever again. As far as I'm concerned, a la Ahmed Beefcake, if I never saw him in a wrestling ring again, it would be too soon. Goodbye and good riddance. PJ, anything you want to add before we sign off tonight?
I'll add just a few things. I'll say that there is really no chance in hell that I ever want to see Vince McMahon on the TV again. I'm fine with not talking about him anymore. And I'm sorry to say, but you're fired.
You're fired. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
And if you have been a victim of some sort of sexual assault in your workplace, any kind of harassment, and you are needing that extra oomph to come forward to put your abuser into the ground, into the justice system, which sometimes doesn't work, so I understand. But have the strength to reach out and tell somebody so that, you know, so you can get help, because, you know, it's not easy, and I understand. But you know, I don't want to get too serious here, but I will just say, you know, it's tough. And if you know someone or you have been a victim of that, you know, please say something, and to get yourself some mental help and some closure to again, hopefully your abuse can suffer.
There are resources out there, and I wish I had those prepared to give them to you, but there are resources out there. A really good sentiment for PJ to say that if you're a victim of any sort of abuse or assault, you know, utilize those resources that are out there for you. And sort of take your life and take your story back. That being said, this has been an extra long episode, an extra long live episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns, despite PJ's breaking kayfabe and saying somebody's name that we don't say on the show. I want to give a thank you to everybody who was involved in this chat. It was Laughlin, it was Doug and James Laughlin that was in here.
James, Michael, Joe, yeah. Matthew Leake.
Yeah, Mama Frick that was in here. Like you said, Michael Underwood, Joe Davitt, just everybody that was here to join us on short notice to watch a live wrestling show with us. We do appreciate everybody being here. Stay tuned later on in the week on the Fans First Sports Network, powered by the Fans First Sports Network, powered by the, oh my gosh, I'm of course.
We're live, pal.
We're live, pal. The Cat Cave with myself, Shannon Smith, and Michael Davis. I know we're actually recording in the next 15 minutes, the Cat Cave. So make sure Tobacco Road Sports Radio's YouTube channel is where you can find the video, or the Fans First Sports Network on your podcasting. And then we're going to be talking about later this week the NFC and AFC championship games from the NFL with Banker Bill. The Lions unfortunately lost, and we were getting the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs, or the Kansas City Taylor Swifts, in the Super Bowl. So we'll be talking about that matchup as well. And again, a reminder, we have two more episodes, both wrestling and football, before our season 5 of the show is over. So make sure you stay tuned to watch those shows and be a part of the show before we head on into the sunset with season 5. We'll be rejoining with season 6 after WrestleMania and just before the start of the UFL football season. So for PJ Stevens, Undertaker figurine, for PJ Stevens, it's your guy, Bully Ride. Thanks everybody who was a part of the show tonight, and we'll see you next time right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.